Strange Things That Happened in History Class by Darth Stitch, read by Silvercat 1620. Summary. Things are getting stranger in Professor Gadling's history class. Notes. I have to say this. I'm glad so many of us have all imagined Dream's reaction to being called adorable. One. Cryptid teachers. Professor Gadling had to take a moment. He really did. It was that or explode into hysterical laughter right that very second, and that really wasn't going to help his case now, was it? The paper he was trying to grade was supposed to be an essay on the suicide of Crown Prince Rudolf at Meyerling and its indirect effect on World War I. Instead, what he got was our four cryptid teachers on campus. And a list, which deserved to be quoted in its entirety. Professor Robert Hobb Gadling, probably knew Shakespeare IRL, explains why he has such a hate boner for him, because boyfriend-stealing, attention-grabbing, insufferable twat, and a whole lot of stuff that Will swears up and down is legit Middle English, sounds pretty damn personal to me. Professor Adam Pearson has an actual motherfucking sword hidden somewhere in his clothes? Maybe it's hammer space? And might possibly duel other immortals. Maybe the oldest immortal, because he talks about ancient Egypt like he's been there, done that, and worn the t-shirt. Professor Duncan MacLeod, the other sword-wielding immortal, and knows a whole bunch of stuff about swords and answers all our questions about weaponry, which is dead useful in our campaigns. Professor Nicholas Chevalier, vampire? OMG! But a friendly neighborhood non-sparkly vampire, though? Although his dad is legit creepy, and we sincerely believe he's a legit vampire. Honestly, there was only one sane, sensible way to respond to this. Dustin. Interesting essay choice there, lad, but I was rather expecting something about poor Crown Prince Rudolf and not speculations about my cryptid status. Incidentally, thank you for realizing I'm not the oldest immortal around. Yes, Professor Pearson wears his ancient Egypt t-shirt with pride, and yes, you do well to steer clear of Lucien Lacroix. That one gives me the willies. You have a day to give me the right essay, so chop chop! 2. The cat thing. So maybe his fursona is a cat. Did you ever think of that, genius? Ah, right. Sure, Steve. He uses meows, purrs, and trills like a legitimate language, and the cats understand him. This is not a fursona thing, my friend. Also, Steve-o, I didn't think you knew about things like fursonas. Eh, you been around the internet long enough, you pick up on some things, Wheeler. So Murphy speaks cat, like legitimately actually speaks cat, not just like us humans doing random meows. Yep, he has all the cats around campus following him around like he's the god of cats or something. Score 1 for cryptid candidacy. We're adding Murphy to the list. I am not the god of cats, although I am rather fond of my lady Bast. We are friends, she and I. Yeah! Actually, humanity knew how to speak feline once. The knowledge was lost eons ago. Isn't that right, Miet?
Meow!
Mischief glinted in starry blue eyes. I could tell you the story, if you've a mind to listen. 3. Typhoon Morpheus. First off, Isabel didn't actually mean to eavesdrop. She'd submitted the wrong paper for their classwork that they'd done today, and while it wasn't a spectacular mistake as Dustin Henderson's infamous cryptid list, it was still obviously the wrong paper. So she was just hurrying to fix things, although she was a little nervous because Professor G seemed to be in a bad mood the whole day. She was just about to knock on the door when she heard, "Look, Gadling, you gotta do something." That voice sounded oddly familiar. Oh, Christ, what now? Whatever you two did, fix it for the love of Murphy. Do you see these feathers, man? I'm soaking wet. It's been raining in the dreaming, and it hasn't stopped. Lucienne's already got the whole rest of us to save the books in the library from the flooding. Raining. Yeah, the boss thinks you don't love him anymore. So, boom, cure the rain. Strum and drang, the works, thunderbolts and lightning, very, very frightening me, Galileo, get with the program here. Wait, hang on a minute. He thinks we've broken up. Duh, yeah? Oh, for Christ's sake, it was just a silly, ridiculous argument. Hey, Matthew, remind me to kiss the stupid out of that idiot after I yell at him, and kiss the stupid out of him again. Reminder set, other boss. Can we go now? Isabel told herself she was never, ever going to speak of this to anyone, even if the fact that she had witnessed Matthew talking was probably enough to confirm Murphy's cryptid status on Dustin's stupid list. 4. Stranger Things. Run this by me again, love, Professor Gadling said in obvious bewilderment. You're a dungeon master? What is that? Not anything kinky, Professor G, Dustin Henderson said in overly cheerful tones. Murphy slanted the boy a look of wry amusement. I think he understands that already. He's our DM for Dungeons & Dragons, Professor, said Will Byers earnestly. It's a storytelling game. Ah, of course, a storytelling game. Why wouldn't His Darkness, the Prince of Stories, be interested in that? Professor Gadling said wryly.
He's the best DM ever, volunteered Iggy Pop. Like, the way Eddie went down fighting the Demobats with Metallica, that was, like, truly epic.
Murphy inclined his head in a regal, almost bow.
I can only but inspire, and I rather enjoyed young Eddie's performance. Truly something only a master bard could do.
I'm still dead, though.
Relax, man. We'll bring you back in a flashback or something. Or maybe make you into a vampire.
A beat.
Of the non-sparkly variety.
I don't mind sparkling, to be honest.
Hey, you'd better bring Eddie back, because I am this close to writing the love song of Eddie Munson and Steve Harrington and posting it on AO3. This from Isabel.
I ship it.
Everyone turned to look at Dustin. He shrugged.
What? They're pretty much my parents this entire time, you know.
So, all of this is part of your game? Professor Gadling gestured at the number of props that the kids had on the table, including a surprising amount of 80s memorabilia.
It's a homegrown campaign, actually, Mike explained further. We set it up, but Murphy really helped us bring it all together.
The good professor turned to his boyfriend, who was clearly enjoying himself in all this.
I hope you realize you're being very, very adorable right now. You have grown very impudent, Todd Gadling. I am most certainly not anything of the sort.
That fine, elegant nose went up in the air, even as his lips curved into one of those secret smiles. Of course he would end up getting kissed. On the nose, that is. The two of them would have quite forgotten their audience in a few moments more, except... You're both adorable, and you can go kiss him silly later, but right now, how about it, Professor? Pretty, pretty, please? Red-haired little Max Mayfield could look pretty winsome when she put her mind to it, and it wasn't helped that the professor was suddenly confronted with all of his students now looking like big-eyed stray kittens. Or Miette, when he was just about to serve her supper. Hob Gadling knew when to give in.
Fine. You can use the new inn for your session tonight. Just try not to wreck the place while you're off trying to fight the forces of darkness or whatever.
Murphy leaned over to drop a kiss into his hair.
We'll put all the breakables away before we begin our quest anew, dearest.
The end. Footnote the first. Shortly after Dustin compiled his list of cryptid teachers on campus, a new professor joined the faculty, having retired from his former tailoring job at Kingsman. His name? Michael Percival Archangelus. Footnote the second.
Dream of the Endless is not quite sure how he ended up adopting Hop's students and joining their D&D group, but he is quite charmed at their imagination and creativity. He had thoroughly enjoyed the idea of designing a villain formidable enough to test them. If it helped some of the little ones confront some of their own personal fears and sorrows, or find respite from them, then he was quite happy to oblige. Footnote the third. Look, Dream still hadn't quite gotten all of the nuances of a healthy relationship, but he's at least figured out that minor spats and squabbles do not equate to breaking up and ending things forever. Hobbs made sure of that. The kisses definitely helped. Footnote the fourth. Dream of the Endless is not, by any definition of the term, adorable, Hob Gatling. How very dare you to suggest otherwise? This is the most intolerable, absolutely unacceptable. Notes. Did I also just cross over Forever Night, Kingsman, and Stranger Things into this ridiculousness? Yes. Yes, I did. Nobody tell Neil. Also, the Michael in this story came from the headcanon Michael that I came up with for the Lucifer Netflix show long before they ran with the evil psychotic twin thing, which I absolutely hated. Michael here is a legit actual good guy. Spent a few years being a spy with Kingsman, and I might be persuaded to tell a story here with him. Eventually.